Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. You know, this year, 2017, marks the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And we here at Reformation News are doing everything we can to keep this in the forefront of God's people. The Roman Catholic Church wants to rewrite history. The Roman Catholic Church wants to do away with the Protestant Church. The Roman Catholic Church wants to do away with the advancements that Martin Luther and the other reformers were able to produce because they simply stood up and said, no more. No more Mary, no more martyrs, no more saints. No more popes, no more Mother Church. We want Jesus. We want the scriptures. We want truth. We want the service in our own language. We want to do away with indulgences. We want to do away with buying church positions. We want to do away with sex scandals. We want to do away with the homosexuality. We want to do away with the prostitution in the church. I mean, folks, Martin Luther and John Calvin and Zwingli's and John Huss and John Wycliffe, I mean, these guys were fighting for not just a return to the Bible, but a cleaning up of the church. Because when you do away with the Bible, what comes in is perversion and corruption. And the Roman Catholic Church is invading our churches. And we're going to do everything possible on this broadcast to remind you of how it is to keep the protest going. Because right now, Rome is reaching across the aisle. Rome is putting out its hands to see if there's any dopey Protestants out there that are going to, you know, join hands and sing Kumbaya. And folks, all Rome is doing is it's bringing people in, and it's on this reconciliation movement to enlarge the church so that when Antichrist shows up, Antichrist will have more people that will bow down and worship him. So we're going to do everything possible. Yes, we are. To remind you that each Sunday of this year is Reformation Sunday. And we need to keep the protests going. If you are still going to church, because a great many of you who listen to me are meeting in your home, you're fellowshipping with a few others like you who are like-minded, who just, you know, you tried finding a church, but you just couldn't find one. You visited this church. I know a guy who told me he's visited 10 churches, and he's exhausted. He's exhausted all of the churches in his area. So he says, "What do I do?" I said, "Well, tune into programs like this. I mean, there's a lot of programs like this one on the internet. Tune into these programs. Get fed. Have some online fellowship. I mean, you don't want to violate the scripture that says, forsake not the assembling together with one another. You don't want to violate that. But the reality is, if you're going to a nutty church, if you're going to a church where the pastor is a dictator and where all they do is talk about money, and every Sunday morning is Sunday morning stick-up, and where they want you to worship the pastor and the first lady, and where there's no Bible being preached, I mean, why even bother going? And that's how a lot of people feel. They're just staying home. A great many of you who are tuning in, you try to find a church. You want to be part of a church. You yearn that Christian fellowship. You want to break bread with brothers and sisters. You want to be able to fellowship with the saints and you know, have Bibles. Yeah, I get it. But I don't blame you for staying home if you've gone to 10 churches and each one is as nutty as the other. I don't blame you. Because when it comes to foolishness, I am completely intolerant. I feel your pain. I feel your, and it's only getting worse. Why is it only getting worse? Well, because the Roman Catholic Church, in an attempt to bring everyone under the umbrella of ecumenism, which means the word ecumenical or ecumenism comes from the Greek word translated into the English, which means one world. Well, in the case of the church, or in the case of the Roman Catholic Church, when they speak of being ecumenical or ecumenism, they're talking about a one world religion. And you know, listen, whether it's a one world religion or one world government, it's all leading to the Antichrist. So we're going to do everything possible here at Reformation News to keep you updated, to keep you informed, to keep reminding you of the fact that we are still protesting. We are Protestants. That's right. I wear that as a badge of honor. Yes, I am a Protestant. I am still protesting. And, you know, one of the things that I want to protest this month, which doesn't fall under the privy of the Roman Catholic Church, because the Roman Catholic Church doesn't collect this offering, but one of the things I'm protesting this month, and I do every year, is the first fruits offering scam. Now, you shouldn't be sending first fruits to anybody. You shouldn't be giving a first fruits offering. That offering became obsolete. When the Old Testament became obsolete, those offerings all became obsolete. We are under a better covenant, the new covenant. And under the new covenant, there is no first fruits offering. There is no Passover offering. There is no Day of Pentecost offering, which is one and the same with first fruits. There is no Day of Atonement offering. A person like Paula White, who is a complete scam artist, she came up with, and when I say that she's the first person, let me qualify that by saying that she's the first person to put it on television. She's the first person to write a book about it. Now, there have been other people who talk about first fruits, but nobody has written a book on it, only Paula White. Paula White's the only person to put it on television and take it global. You know, if there is a global first fruits offering scam, it's due greatly in part to Paula White. In 2006, she began to teach it on her global broadcast, and that's when people around the world, particularly slick pastors, started to run with the offering. And pretty much they all practice almost an identical version to Paula White's scam. I call Rob Parsley the first fruits parrot. You know how parrots repeat everything? Well, when you listen to Rod Parsley teach on first fruits, he is parroting word for word what Paula White is saying. And I am a Paula White first fruits expert. If anybody's an authority on Paula White's first fruits offering scam, it is me. No one has studied that offering. No one's read her book more than I have. No one's picked apart her book more than I have. And there is a 30-day trial. I put together last year a 30-day trial on Paula White's first fruits offering scam. And all you have to do is go to Wolf Tracker, the Wolf Tracker broadcast on Block Talk Radio, and you will see that January 2016, all of January 2016, I put Paula White's teaching on first fruits on trial. And for 30 days, I hammered away. For 30 days. I am the authority on Paula White's first fruits offering scam. So, Paula's not the first one to preach on it, because Paula is, when it comes to the prosperity gospel, Paula's a Johnny come lately. But who popularized the teaching globally? Paula. Who's the only one of the prosperity teachers who has written a book on first fruits? Paula. Paula. Now, Rod Parsley put together a little pamphlet on first fruits. But in order to get the pamphlet, you had to send them an offering, and I wasn't gonna send that scammer an offering just to get his book or his little pamphlet. But in all of his broadcasts, it's like he watches Paula do it, and then he goes on the air and he mimics her, he parrots her. That's why I call him First Fruits Parrot. And if I write a book on Rod Parsley, and the First Fruits Offering Scam, that'll be the title of the book, First Fruits Parrot. First Fruits Parrot. So, yeah, that's the scam for this month, and I'm protesting it. I'm protesting that scam. First and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, my dear brothers and sisters, you don't have to give your Heavenly Father anything when it comes to money. You know, my kids, they come into my study, whether I'm in my library or I'm in my study, and my kids come running to me, and they'll say, "Dad, I need this, that," and I'll say, "Well, did you sew? Did you sew an offering? Dad, I need a new tire on my bicycle. Well, did you sew an offering? Dad, I need new equipment. I need a new uniform for my soccer team. Well, did you sew?" No, my kids come running to me because they know that as dad, I am supposed to be provider. As pater familias, as the progenitor of my children, it is my responsibility to support them. God, we are God's children, born again from above. And as our Heavenly Father, Jesus said, all you have to do is ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock on the Father's door. There are times when I'm in my study, my library, there's a knock on my door. My kids don't know I'm praying. I lock it because I'm praying. They knock on my door and they say, "Hey, Dad, I need some money. I got to get some notebook paper and I got to get pencils." And that's all they have to do. They just knock on the door. Wherever I am in the house, wherever I am on the property, they come and knock on that door. If I'm in the garage, all they do is knock. "Dad, can I come in?" "Yep, you can come in." "Hey, Dad, I need to..." And they know that if they ask, they shall receive. Seek, their mother tells them, "Go ask your dad." Well, you know, the property's vast, so they're looking for me, high and low. They're seeking. And like I said, if I'm in the garage, if I'm in my library, they just knock on the door, and it's open. "What is it, baby? What do you need?" And one of my daughters, she knows how to wrap me around her finger. She goes, "Papa." And when she says "Papa," that's it. That's it. "Papa, that's it. Okay, baby, what do you need?" And she looks at me with those big brown eyes, and she bats her eyelashes. "Okay, baby, what is it? What do you want from Papa? What does Papa have to give you?" And that's what Paul says. He says we cry, "Abba, Father." Daddy is what we cry. Daddy or Papa. So this scam artist, Paula White, when she says you have to give your papa, your daddy, a one-month salary, it's a scam. And for that, she's going to be severely judged. For that, trust me, folks, trust me, since 2006, since she's been pushing this on the air, Paula White has gotten millions of offerings. And for each one of those offerings, for each one of those lies that she's told, there's a special place in the lake of fire for people like Paula White and Rod Parsley and Benny Hinn. So we're protesting. We're protesting a lot of things. Don't let anyone tell you that the protest is over. Don't let anyone tell you the protest is over. There's a lot of things to protest. So, don't send anyone any first fruits offering. Don't send anyone anything. I can see my wife telling me, "Stop saying those double negatives." Okay, darling. Okay, sweetheart. Well, let me remind you that this coming Friday, we have a call-in broadcast. Sister Marie is going to be with us once again. Sister Marie is going to be reporting on global news, and she's going to be telling us what the Roman Catholic Church is doing in Europe, what the Roman Catholic Church is doing behind the scenes, what the Roman Catholic Church is doing in a sneak behind the curtain. So Sister Marie is a tremendous researcher. And Friday, this coming Friday, starting at 7 p.m., we'll be on for 2 hours, Sister Marie and I. And you'll be able to call in if you have a question, if you have a comment, and you can call in to call in broadcast. And if you have a question, if you're kind of shy and you don't want to call in because you don't want you're kind of timid about going on the air, well, all you have to do is email Sister Marie your questions at reformationexpress@gmail.com, reformationexpress@gmail.com, and Sister Marie will ask your question on the air, and I will endeavor to answer it. So Friday, 7 p.m., call in broadcast. And again, I'm going to do some teaching on the end times, and Sister Marie is going to be doing some reporting as to what is currently going on. So you don't want to miss the broadcast on Friday. It's a broadcast where we allow you to participate. And listen, folks, all you have to do is behave yourself. You can call in. You can call in. You can ask your question. And or if you have a differing opinion, we accept that. Now, all we ask you to do is to behave yourself. If you call in and you tell me, "Don't touch the Lord's anointed, do my prophets no harm," I'm going to disconnect you. And then after I disconnected you, I'm going to take you to the woodshed, and I'm going to give you a biblical spanking. So don't make me give you a biblical spanking. Behave yourself. Behave yourself. This is not a season, this is not a time, this is not an hour for foolishness. It's not an hour for that. It's an opportunity for us to learn and grow and come together to talk about holy things, not foolish things, holy things. And so I want to continue today's broadcast with the theme about the book Jackass Bishops. And we already saw on the Monday broadcast, that the book Jackass Bishops does much to reveal Rome's perverted history. And I want to encourage you all, if you haven't purchased your copy of Jackass Bishops, I want to encourage you all to do so. You can go to paganbishops.com. PaganBishops.com and order your electronic, your PDF copy. You make your $15 donation and the book will be emailed to you. PaganBishops.com and get your copy of Jackass Church Bishops. Jackass Church Bishops. And we saw on Monday how the book Jackass Bishops allows us to see and reveals and exposes the fact that the Roman Catholic Church has a perverted history. Now, when I speak of the word perverted, I mean twisted. Perverted and twisted are synonymous. Perverted and twisted. When we say he's got a twisted mind, well, what we're saying is he's got a perverted mind. And the devil is into twisting things. And one of the things that the devil loves to twist is he loves to twist scripture. He loves to twist the Bible. And the devil has an agency in the earth. The devil has an organization, if you will, in the earth. That all it does is twist the Bible. And that agency, that organization, is the Roman Catholic Church. And in the book, Jackass, the author reveals that Rome has a perverted history, that Rome has a way of perverting or twisting things. Now, today, in our follow-up broadcast, we want to talk about how the Roman Catholic Church has a way of corrupting things, corrupting. Now, but you would think that perverting and corrupting are synonymous, but they're slightly different. Because when you pervert, you twist. But the word corrupt, really, I want to emphasize the fact that the word corrupt has to do with polluting, polluting, polluting. So now they go hand in hand. See, perverting and twisting go hand in hand with corrupting and polluting, but they're really different. There's a difference. Some might say they're synonymous. Well, they're very close. But we can still split the atom. We can still say no. While they sound similar, and they may appear similar, they're really a little different. So, the best way for me to explain it is to take you to the Bible. Let me take you to the Bible. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, those of us who are in the discernment ministry, this is one of our favorite scriptures to turn to. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Some shall depart from the faith. Some shall depart from the faith. So the falling away. We've been talking about the falling away. And we have already noted that Christ can't return until two things happen. Christ cannot return unless two things happen first. First, there must be a falling away. Okay, so check that one off the list. That one has occurred and is still occurring. The falling away is in progress. We are actually in the midst of the great falling away. We're in the midst of the great apostasy. Actually living in the moment when this falling away, it's in full swing. But Paul also said that Christ can't come back until the son of perdition be revealed. Now, the Antichrist may be alive. He may be alive, like we talked on Monday when I played the clip on the movie Rosemary's Baby. The Antichrist may be alive. If you subscribe that this is the last generation, and many of us do, and if you subscribe to the fact that he may have been born in 1966 or 1968, some people do, then he's got to be, if he was born in 66, he is currently 51 years old. If he was born in 68, currently 49 years old. So if you subscribe to the fact that this is the last generation and that he's already born, then, I mean, his heart's beating and he's breathing. He's somewhere. But being alive and breathing and having your heart beat doesn't mean that you've appeared. Because, you see, Paul says there has to be a falling away, then there has to be the manifestation or the revelation of the man of sin. That means that he comes on the world stage and he comes into great prominence. Now, unless Donald Trump is the Antichrist, we haven't hit phase two. And I don't think that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. I don't subscribe to that. So part one is complete. Part one is unfolding. We're in the midst of the first one, the falling away, but the man of sin has not yet been revealed. The Antichrist has not yet been made manifest. He's not been disclosed. He's not standing upon the world stage and CNN and NBC and CBS and Fox News, and ain't nobody covering the Antichrist today. That's not happening. So we know Christ can't come back yet because the second one has not been realized. So Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the what?" From the faith. Okay, that is in swing. And he says, "And this is how they shall depart from the faith." And he gives two reasons. One is they lent their ear, they gave heed to seducing spirits. Now, a seducing spirit is a con artist spirit. Paul White con believers. How does Rod Parsley con believers? How does Benny Hinn con believers? How does the prosperity gospel preachers con believers? Well, what they do is they twist or pervert scripture. Well, that's what the Roman Catholic Church does. The Roman Catholic Church is and has a the Roman Catholic Church is perverted and has had a perverted history. The Roman Catholic Church is twisted. The thinking of the Roman Catholic Church, the theology, if you will, the worship of the Roman Catholic Church, everything about the Roman Catholic Church is perverted and twisted. Why? Because the Roman Catholic Church is the spawn of seducing or con artist spirits. And it is, you see, it is the role of a seducing spirit to pervert and twist scripture. In the book Jackass Bishops, the author gives you a chart, he gives you an illustration as to why the Roman Catholic Church cannot be trusted, and he gives you a diagram of a stool with three legs. And he shows what the three legs represent. Two of the legs, one leg is the magisterium, the second leg is human tradition, how two legs neutralize one of the legs, which is scripture. So the Roman Catholic Church says, yes, we believe in scripture, but we also believe in church tradition, man-made traditions, man-made customs, and also the magisterium. We have a board. We have a group of elite teachers who are the ones who can only interpret the Bible. So this perverted group called the magisterium, along with church perverted traditions, muzzle and silence the Word of God. They twist the Bible. They'll twist scripture. So that is a byproduct of what? Giving heed to seducing or con artist spirits. And these con artist spirits who operate in the Roman Catholic Church are already operating in the Protestant Church. Forget it. They've been in the Charismatic Church since the beginning, these con artist spirits. In the Charismatic Church, it's just like the new Apostolic Reformation, right? We know about the new Apostolic Reformation for years. For years we know about this group. And at any moment, any of their chief leaders can get up and prophesy. And that prophecy that comes out of the mouth of that member of the new Apostolic Reformation, that prophecy does what? It does what? It's superior to scripture. Now, you can tell that brother or that sister who just prophesied, hey, what you said contradicts the Bible, but they don't care. Because their prophecy is on the same level or even superior. In fact, in many cases, they will argue it's superior because today's apostles are far more advanced than the apostles who wrote down the Bible. So our word, the latter rain apostles' word, is greater and far more authoritative than the word of Paul or Peter or whatever. So folks, as you can see, seducing spirits. And what do? They twist and pervert. Now, that was Monday's broadcast. Today I want to talk about how the Roman Catholic Church, as revealed in the book Jackass Bishops, is also has a corrupt history. By corrupt, we mean polluted. The Roman, look. If you have twisted scripture, you're going to have twisted living. If you have twisted doctrines, you're going to have what? You're going to have twisted leadership, polluted leadership, corrupt leadership. Jim Jones, the guy who took the Pentecostal group to Guyana, that Jim Jones, he can get up in the pulpit and talk about God and holiness and this and that. And then after the service, he would engage in homosexual practices with some of his male staff. You see, having a twisted mind and twisting the scriptures leads to corrupt and polluted living. So, as you look here at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, you find it. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to con artist spirits and doctrines of devils," or doctrines of demons. The better translation is demons. What is a demon? A demon is an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit. So that's where the corruption and the pollution comes from. So spirits seduce. That's where they pervert and twist. But the unclean spirit brings about the corruption and the pollution. And this is what the Roman Catholic Church does. Like, better than anybody else. Better than anybody else, folks. The Roman Catholic Church, better than anybody else, and it's documented in the book, Jackass Bishops, no one can outdo the Roman Catholic Church in perverting and twisting the scriptures, and no one can outdo the Roman Catholic Church in living corrupt and polluted lives. No one. She has cornered that market. And that's why the book of Revelation, in describing the Roman Catholic Church, gives her the title, the Mother of Harlots. The Mother of Harlots. She's the one, in other words, it is the Roman Catholic Church who is the madam. Now, who's a madam? Well, a madam in a bordello, in a whore house, the madam is the one who runs things. The Roman Catholic Church is the global madam who promotes spiritual corruption and spiritual pollution. That's right. She's called the Mother of Harlots. A mother in the context of the first century, in the context of John's day and the days of the apostles, mothers were charged with educating their children. Back in the first century, there were no public schools. In the first century, there were no public schools. All children were homeschooled. All children were home in the first century. In fact, in all previous centuries, all children were homeschooled. And the person responsible for educating children was the mama, because the dad was out at work. That's a known fact. So that term, Mother of Harlots, means that she is their educator. She teaches them the ropes. She's teaching them a profession. That's right. A mother wasn't a babysitter. A mother was an educator. That's why you read about Solomon and how he marries an Ammonite woman. And with this Ammonite woman, who's a pagan woman, he marries this Ammonite, Solomon, David's son. He marries an Ammonite woman, and she bears him a son, Rehoboam. Well, when Solomon dies and Rehoboam comes to the throne, guess what? Rehoboam turns out to be a bad dude. Why? Well, because he was homeschooled by his Ammonitish mother. If you have a pagan wife, you're going to have pagan children. If you marry a perverted and twisted woman who's corrupt and polluted, she's going to train your children to be perverted and twisted and corrupt and polluted. It's just the way it goes. Kids in those days spent almost all their time being trained and educated, paired, schooled, mentored by their mother. So the Roman Catholic Church in Revelation 17:4 is called the mother of harlots. She's not the mother, listen, she's not the mother of women. She's not the mother of school teachers, and she's not the mother of cooks. She's not the mother of sewers. No. She's teaching them a nasty profession, the profession of twisting and polluting, the profession of perverting and corrupting. That's right. And this comes from the fact that the Roman Catholic Church, and now perhaps your church, is under the spiritual covering of seducing spirits and unclean spirits. That's right. And there's a lot of seducing going on. In fact, you know, when people like Paula White and Rod Parsley and Benny Hinn and all of the other clowns who are promoting the first fruits offering, they will promise you God's blessing, and they never mention holiness. Well, if you read the entire Old Testament, blessings from God came not because you gave money, but blessings from God came because you lived holy. Think about this. God in the Old Testament blessed his people not because they sowed offerings, but God blessed his people if they kept their covenant contract and lived holy. That's why God blessed them. God said to the Israelites, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." When Isaiah saw God in the temple in Isaiah 6, the Bible says that there were cherubims who repeatedly sang as a choir, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the God of glory." Holy. Holiness unto the... Without holiness, no one shall see God. I have a dear friend. He's a pastor. Has one child. One child. And he's written out his will. And when he dies, he wrote in his will that his daughter is to get nothing. He has one daughter. And the reason being is because his daughter is a lesbian. And not only is she a lesbian, but she's a radical lesbian. And she's an advocate for the gay and lesbian community. She's a militant lesbian. He says, listen, when I die, I cannot will her my substance. Now, that's between him and God. But I can understand it. Because he has biblical precedent. God doesn't bless those children who are perverted in their thinking and polluted in their living. God does not bless them. So if he decides to imitate God and say, my daughter has chosen to live this perverted life, this polluted life, and I don't want to will her my money because that money is going to go back into the gay community, I can understand it. But when Benny Hinn and Rod Parsley and the other clowns teach on blessings and finances and becoming rich, they never attach to it living holy. If you just sow, God will disregard how you're living. As long as you sow, God won't check into if you're living holy or not. All God needs to see you do is the amount that you give so that you can activate God. And if you activate him, he'll turn around and bless you. Well, that's not the God of the scriptures. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses wrote down and he instructed the children of Israel that they were not to take offerings from prostitutes. They were not to take offerings from sodomites. Moses wrote down the different people that the children of Israel were not to take offerings from. And it's delineated. Why? Because God was emphasizing that all those who participated in service, in worship, and in giving had to live holy. Well, today's broadcast focuses on the fact that not only does the Roman Catholic Church pervert and twist, which we covered that on Monday, the Roman Catholic Church follows the perverting and the twisting by corrupting and polluting. And that again points back to 1 Timothy 4:1, where there are seducing spirits and unclean spirits. The demons are seducing, but they're also unclean. So I have a clip for you that I want to play. And here's a report on the Roman Catholic Church. Let us listen.
Los hombres et singuli in ac elezione sua. Ego Johannes Baptista Cardinalis re e mano mea tango.
Et ego Nicolaus Jesu Cardinalis Lopez Rodriguez.
A year ago, when the cardinals converged on Rome to elect a new pope, they all understood what was at stake.
The atmosphere was the most serious, the most intense that I've ever known, because of the issues which the church was facing. At the top level in Rome, things were not going well. And then the shame of child abuse has had a most serious effect, I think, on the church, not just in the West, but I think all over the world. The Catholic Church, and in particular the Pope, has the highest moral voice in the world. If that voice is diminished by scandals, that's a serious matter.
This was one of the shortest conclaves ever. Church was reeling from the scandal of sexual abuse by the clergy, and he promised firm action.
I still remember very clearly when Cardinal Ratzinger, in 2005, went through the stations of the cross. At the ninth station, I think, he stopped and denounced all the filth that is inside the church. But he said, it's not the people from outside who bring filth into the church. It is us who make it dirty.
He knew a lot about filth in the church. For 24 years as prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Cardinal Ratzinger had been responsible for matters of theology and discipline. Many serious cases of priestly abuse crossed his desk. None more troubling than the scandal surrounding the Legionaries of Christ. A scandal that, until very recently, the church fought hard to suppress. The Legionaries was one of the fastest growing orders in the church, recruiting young men in great numbers from countries across the world. The order was founded in 1941 by Marcial Maciel, a young man with powerful family connections to Mexico's conservative Catholic elite.
Maciel was the greatest fundraiser of the modern church. The man had a gilded touch.
Journalist Jason Berry spent years investigating Maciel and the Legionaries of Christ.
He could get millionaires and the wives and widows of multimillionaires to support his movement of Renaissance orthodoxy. And he was bringing in a great many young men to this religious order that saw itself on a crusade to save the church from the decay of the modern world.
The Maciel case is one of the darkest chapters in the history of the contemporary church, without a doubt, without a doubt.
In 1947, 10-year-old Juan Vaca was personally chosen by Maciel to enter one of his seminaries. Like all the other boys, he had to swear before God that he would never speak ill of Maciel.
I was enrolled with that mentality Maciel gave us, that we were a very selected group, an elite, chosen by God to conquer the world. But at the same time, he started to control our mind, to control our communication with our parents.
On a winter's night in 1949, Maciel's control of Juan Vaca reached another level.
We used to go to bed after last prayers in chapel. A colleague of mine, he said, Nuestro Padre, our Father, wants you to go to his bedroom. In his bedroom, to me as a child, it was very strange. Anyway, I went to his bedroom. He was already in bed. And he took my hand, said, please give me a massage in my stomach because I have terrible pain. He said, lower, lower. Finally, I was touching his penis and got an erection. I felt completely petrified. I was in shock. So after a few seconds, I would say, I felt his semen on my hand. So, okay. Maciel said, now I feel much better now. You can go and go back to sleep.
The next morning, after a sleepless night, Juan felt unable to follow the call to Mass and went straight to Maciel's office.
I told him I cannot go to communion because I committed a sin last night with you. He said, no, Juan. Don't worry, I give you the absolution. I forgive you. And he gave me the sacramental absolution of a sin. So don't worry. What you did was an act of charity because you helped me to relieve of my pain. You didn't commit a sin.
The abuse continued on a regular basis. And Juan discovered that there were 20 other boys involved. In the meantime, the Legion went from strength to strength. Juan Vaca was ordained in 1969 and became Maciel's deputy. But he was caught in a twisted relationship.
He never touched me again since 1961. But I knew he was doing with others. Maciel was also abusing drugs, Rolantin, a derivative of morphine.
In 1971, Father Vaca was given a senior position with the Legionaries in the United States. But by now, he was in conflict with himself.
I am lying to people getting money for mission, for the missions when it's being used to support this type of life Maciel is having.
Eventually, Father Vaca wrote a document setting out all the crimes he'd witnessed and presented it to Maciel personally, with a request to be released from the legionaries.
Everything is right here in this paper, please read. So when he was like halfway, he started to cry. You know, said, Juan, you cannot do this to me. You did this more than that to me for 32 years. And this is it. Well, I was just already making the decision to name you the second in command in the order, my assistant general. Say, Father, even if you give me your position, I don't want it. This is it.
In 1976, Father Juan made a decision. He would send his damning report to the Vatican.
In 1921, colleagues of mine that had been also abused, I witnessed myself.
Father Vaca also described Maciel's misappropriation of funds to maintain his extravagant lifestyle and the bribes he'd paid to doctors and the police.
We knew that the letter was received because we sent it through the diplomatic pouch, because we got protocol number such and such received, but no answer, no reply to the content of my information, nothing at all.
Muy fuertes, todos hijos e hijas de Padre Maciel.
Not only did the Vatican not respond to the letter, but Pope John Paul led massive celebrations to mark both the 50th and the 60th anniversaries of Father Maciel's priestly ordination.
Se ve, se siente, legionarios están presentes.
The Vatican did nothing. John Paul continued to praise Maciel despite the pending allegations.
Así como el padre Marcial Maciel.
He described the founder of the Legionaries of Christ as, quote, an efficacious guide to youth. That, quote, incensed Maciel's victims. They would go public with the testimony they now had on Maciel.
Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger.
The official responsible for investigating child abuse cases was Cardinal Ratzinger. He had to respond to the news media about the charges against Maciel.
Come to me. Just a moment is given. Not yet.
But he was in a bind. John Paul's public celebration of Maciel made it very difficult for him to take action. And all the while, Maciel's activities went unchecked.
The situation changed at the end of 2004. At that time, Cardinal Ratzinger made a decision, to his credit, that Maciel had to be investigated. So he sent a canon lawyer in his office, Monsignor Charles Szczekluna, to America and Mexico to take the testimony of these men. He clearly knew that whoever would become the next pope needed to have Maciel under investigation, lest the Vatican be tarnished by the scandal of a much-accused pedophile and nothing happening to him.
With the death of Pope John Paul, it was Ratzinger himself, now Pope Benedict, who would have to pursue the case against Maciel.
Once he's pope, then the question becomes, how do you deal with this man? What should have happened was the order should have been disbanded, and instead he invited him to spend the rest of his life in prayer and penance.
There was no description of his crimes, no apologies to his victims.
Why didn't he just banish him? Why? Because the Legionaries of Christ is a large and very wealthy order and puts lots of money in the Vatican's coffers.
The Legion, which had defended him all along, never admitted that he abused any of these altar boys or young seminarians, announced at his death that he had gone to heaven. A year later, the Legionaries announced that he had a child. Well, it soon became apparent that he had a grown daughter living with her mother, one of Maciel's paramours, in Madrid.
And it it turned out, a son by another woman in Mexico. The price of the church's failure to act was revealed in Jason Berry's interview with Raul Gonzalez.
He was a good person. When acts like our daddy and a demon, when he acts like a predator.
Maciel lived multiple lives, and this is a rare glimpse of him on holiday. Raul and his half-brother Omar would be invited on trips like these, but Raul says there was a heavy price for the boys to pay.
All the days that we stayed with my dad, on every trip, there were abuses.
Was it mostly masturbation?
No. Well, I feel really sorry by my brother because he was penetrated by my dad, and my brother also penetrated him because my dad told him that that's what the way he was going to earn. And he always told us that how to kiss him because he was. That's the way we were going to learn how to kiss a girl when we grew up.
You were 10, 11 years old?
10. Whoa, I don't have to stop. He took me on a, how do you say it, on a walk. He said,
here's a Roman Catholic priest who has connections to John Paul II and Benedict XVI, whom Rome knew was living a double life. Rome who perverts scripture, Rome who corrupts the souls of men, had this priest establish a religious order, because as the video showed, I mean, the guy was a tremendous fundraiser. He's another Benny Hinn, he's another Paula White, he's another Rod Parsley. And like in the mafia, if you're a good earner, the mafia keeps you around if you're a good earner. The godfather, the boss, the crime boss of the crime syndicate, oh, they love good earners. Because good earners kick up. So here the Roman Catholic Church has this pedophile priest who is molesting children in his order. Then he has a wife on the side, has kids with her, takes the two boys on vacation and is a predator to his two sons. And all the while, the Roman Catholic Church protected this man. And this is just, listen, this is one of thousands of priests, one of thousands. Because, folks, the bottom line is when you twist the word, when you pervert the word, when you give heed, when you yield to seducing spirits, then you take on the doctrine of unclean spirits. And now, what is the doctrine of unclean spirits? You can be a hypocrite. You can live a double life. You can violate children. You can give them absolution. The young kids, you know, the next morning he couldn't go to mass and he couldn't go to confession and he's troubled. He says, and the priest tells a 10-year-old boy, don't worry. I've given you the sacrament of absolution. Don't worry what you did. Don't worry. Come back tonight and do it again. Folks, this is the Roman Catholic Church. And this is presented in the book Jackass Bishops. Now, I want to play a clip of Bishop Eddie Long. Everybody knows Bishop Eddie Long. Bishop the so-called Bishop Eddie Long, who, by the way, looks like he's dying. The Bishop Eddie Long, for many, 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 many years, operated under the umbrella of the Joint College of African American Bishops. That's Eddie Long. And in particular, he comes from that branch of the Joint College of African American Bishops that is under the supervision of Paul S. Morton. Paul S. Morton is one of the four founding members of the Joint College of African American Bishops. Paul S. Morton. Paul S. Morton was ordained by men in the Roman Catholic Church. Then Paul S. Morton lays hands on guys like Eddie Long and makes him a bishop. And we all know about Eddie Long. Eddie Long is a queer. He's a homosexual. He's what the Jews call a fagala. He's a muscle-bound man, or used to be a muscle-bound man, but, you know, in his double life, Eddie Long was a homosexual. Now, back in the day when I was a young man, when I was a young man in the ministry, someone was telling me about this Eddie Long guy. Oh, you got Eddie Long. Oh, he's a powerful. So they put on a video. And it so happened to be the video that that I'm going to play now. And my friends who were raving about Eddie Long and talking about, wow, this guy's a powerful preacher, they play this video, and in this video, the pervert, the twisted-minded Eddie Long was teaching that God's sperm is his word. Now, when they played this video for me, I said to them, shut that thing off. And they wouldn't shut it off. So I walked up to the VCR and I shut it off. And I said, what'd you do that for? Now, these are some of my ministerial colleagues. I said, that guy's a queer. What? Look at his muscles. I said, guys, the guy's a queer. They said, no, what are you talking about? He's a man of God. He's highly anointed. He's highly favored. I said, you drink that Kool-Aid if you want to. But anybody, and this is a rule of thumb, guys. For those of you who are listening to me, this is a rule of thumb. If anyone has perverted or twisted the Bible, if anyone is perverting and twisting scripture, I can guarantee you that they're living a double life. I can guarantee you that they were in the closet about something. Now, here is this tape. Here is this clip on Eddie Long. And I remember this was probably 20 years ago when my friends introduced me to him, because I had never heard of the guy before, and they played this clip. And I remember I said, shut it off. And they were like, no. And I walked up, and I mean, it got ugly. Because then I started saying, this guy's a queer. And they were saying, how dare you? That's the man of God. Blah, you know how it goes. And I told them, this guy's a homo. This guy likes men. And they said, no, he's a man of God. He's anointed. I said to them, if you pervert the Bible, see, there's a progression. If you pervert or twist scripture, then that perverting and twisting of scripture leads you to a perverted life. It leads you to corruption and pollution. Here is Eddie Long. Listen to this blasphemy. Listen to this. preaching a sermon out of 1 Samuel chapter 2. And he said, God's word is his sperm. Twisting scripture. That's perverting scripture. But you know, that when those kinds of words comes out of a person's mouth, when that perversion comes out of a person's mouth, it just tells you that in their private life, they are living in corruption and pollution. Now, it only took 20 years later for it to be made manifest because, as we have recently seen, Eddie Long was sued for pedophilia, basically. I mean, he took men, young men, barely over the age of consent, because that's how Eddie Long got away with going to jail. That's why Eddie Long today is not called the sex offender, because he purposely targeted in the state of Georgia where he was practicing his pedophilia. Eddie Long molested boys right over the age of 16. In the state of Georgia, the age of 16 is the age of consent. Well, he did pretty much to those four boys what the priest Martial was doing to the boys he was molesting. He was taking them into the bedroom. He was doing ceremonies with them. Marriage says, this is between you and me. Here's a ring. I belong to you. You belong to me, blah, blah, blah. And this is okay. This is acceptable. But I called it 20 years before Eddie Long was found out. Because 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 doesn't lie. Many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing or con artist spirits who specialize in twisting and in perverting God's word. And that leads to what? Doctrines of demons. What are demons? Unclean spirits. Who do what? Who lead us into pollution and corruption. And folks, this is why you got to get a copy of the book, Jackass Bishop. I'm not just saying that to you because we want to sell a book. Which I'm saying it to you because I need you and I want you to get educated. Why don't we need you to get educated? Because we need more intelligent saints. You know, if you went to any Bible school and you took a course, if you took a course on, let's say, the doctrine of demons, well, at any Bible school today, a 15-week course on the doctrine of demons would cost you $60, $70. Well, you're gonna get the doctrine of demons and more in the book, Jackass Bishops. And instead of paying $70, all you're doing is paying $15. You're making a donation of And listen, why am I devoting an entire... And listen, I'm not... It's... Why are we devoting an entire year to this? When everybody else is talking about other stuff, why is it that in 2017... we're simply going to focus on this thing about the Roman Catholic invasion of the African-American church / the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. Why? Because they are starting to twist the scriptures. They are starting to pervert the scriptures. And then that's going to lead to all-out moral corruption. And we're already seeing it. Look, folks, when... Remember at the Woman Thou Art Loose conference? The Woman Thou Art Loose. And Tyler Perry, what did Tyler Perry do? He took the mic. T.D. Jakes gave him the mic. Tyler Perry, when people say he is homosexual, Perry, because he made $1 million donation at that conference to T.D. Jakes, he made $1 million donation to T.D. Jakes' ministry. $1 million, Tyler Perry. The guy who does all of those Madea movies. Now, here's a supposed gay guy. He starts speaking in tongues. You can watch the video. The video's on YouTube. He starts speaking in tongues, and what does he do? He lays hands on T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes falls out like he's under the power of the Holy Ghost. That is theatrics. The whole place went crazy. The whole place went crazy. Here's a homosexual, a reported homosexual. And Tyler Perry has not come out and says, I'm heterosexual. He hasn't come out and says, I'm bisexual. He hasn't come out and says, he's homosexual. But, the heavy rumor is he's gay. So he takes the mic from T.D. Jakes. He starts to address the crowd. He tells them that he's donated $1 million, pretty much like the guy Marcial, who's a fundraiser. He's a great fundraiser. Oh, he had the Midas touch. Marcial, the Roman Catholic, he had the Midas touch. He can get millionaires to give money. Well, that's Tyler Perry. Why did T.D. Jakes give him the mic? Not only because he gave $1 million, because now he's encouraging all the 80,000 people that are there. If I gave $1 million, you have to sow sacrificially. So you can only imagine the kind of offering that T.D. Jakes got after he gave Tyler Perry. Now, for all of that, what did Tyler Perry get to do? He got to speak in tongues, supposedly moving in the Holy Ghost. And we know that he wasn't moving in the Holy Ghost. He lays hands on T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes falls down like he's under the power of the Holy Ghost. Massive confusion. But this is what happens when people give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, unclean spirits. That's just one example. The Eddie Long sermon, that's another example. And we need to arm ourselves with truth. So don't forget to order your copy of Jackass Bishops. If you know someone who desperately needs a copy, get them a copy. Get them a copy of the book. Say, here, I want to bless you with this. You need to read this. You need to hightail it out of your church. Now, maybe I can't give you all the points. Maybe I can't, I won't be able to communicate it the way I would love to, but here, read this book, because this brother who wrote it, he's going to open your eyes. He's going to open your eyes. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. I love you in Jesus. Don't forget, show up on Friday. We have a special broadcast for you on Friday. It's a call-in broadcast, and I would love to have you join us. Remember, if you want your questions answered on the air, please send us your question to reformationexpress@gmail.com, reformationexpress@gmail.com. Sister Marie will read the question. I will answer it. In addition to that, you don't want to miss Sister Marie's insightful. She's going to bring us news. Things we don't know that are going on. She's researching. She's digging up some stuff. And it'll be a blessing to you and to me because, what does all of this news do? It reinforces the truth that we're in the last days. We're in the last days. I want to close today's broadcast with, are you washed in the blood? Are you washed? And after listening to the pollution and the filth, and the twisting and the perverting that we just listened to, we can use a good washing in the blood of Christ. Well, my brothers and sisters, until tomorrow, God bless you.